And all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full. Abundance is a theme that runs through our lives, whether we're talking about it or not. Knowing that we have enough, that we will have enough. And especially at a time now when we are watching the divide between the haves and the have-nots grow, listening in to what is enough, what is more than enough, when does that become privilege or indulgence or decadence even? What's enough? Abundance is a deep and central theme in Scripture as well. And today it is in the crosshairs of both readings. These readings frame for us what enough is and how it's connected to action. The first reading, Elisha, the prophet, is receiving a tithe, basically taking the offering, bringing the first fruits of grain. And he's doing what you do with a tithe, which is hand it out to the people, the school of prophets. And except in this case, it is so obvious that there is too little for too many. And he has to say to his acolyte twice, just do it. Just let them eat and have some left. And the punchline is exactly that. And they ate and had some left. See? Elisha's not working with certainties. That's his acolyte, but with possibilities. His confidence is not in what he has to work with, but what the power of God can do to make more of it. That story sets up and interprets the gospel story for today, the feeding of the 5,000. Once again, same event. Too much need and too little supply. And the disciples are certain of it. We don't even need to check what we've got. How could we possibly handle this? Jesus challenges that certainty, not with an argument, but with action. First, he calls them to act, saying, just go find out what you have. He makes them go bring this pitiful little bit of 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish. So what we got. And then he leads the way. He takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives the bread. And just like the Elisha story, they ate and had some left. A lot left. 12 baskets full. Enough for all the tribes, symbolically, to feed the world, everyone. Enough and more than enough. Take, bless, break, give. So if those words sound a little familiar, that is a formula that we use in every single Eucharistic prayer we ever pray, in that order. And it actually has been used in every Eucharistic prayer since the very beginning. That little formula shows up first in the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, who's quoting what's happening liturgically. Taking, blessing, breaking, giving. This is how Jesus does it. And it shows up 10 times in the Gospels, tucked in little stories. It's kind of like code. So the walk to Emmaus, when Jesus is risen and they don't know who he is and they're walking with him, he takes the bread, breaks it, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it, and poof, gone. Here it is, right in the middle of this story. That's a pattern of ritual in this early church. But it's not just a pattern for the ritual, it's a pattern for their daily lives. These early Jesus followers centered their lives around that pattern. In a time of great scarcity, they practiced this radical abundance. Start with what you have. Take. Imagine that God is already present and active. Bless. And then just step into it. Break it up, give it away, watch what happens. And through the doing, learn what enough looks like. Now, my inner critic says that is fine for a Bible story, but it doesn't work that way in real life. And yet, often enough, something challenges that inner critic. So last week, we saw it happen in a little, small, but beautiful, tangible way. So as you know, our dear Abe, who is here today, waving his hand, was on two canceled flights that didn't make it by Sunday morning. So we were going to sing a cappella. We were getting all ready for it. Choir was gathering, and in walked Brenda Jacobson. And someone said, well, Brenda plays the piano. And so I said, Brenda, would you be game to learn what we're doing today in 10 minutes and go for it? And she just paused and said, okay. And we went, like, what do I do for a prelude? I don't know, just play a hymn. You know, we just figured it out in the moment. The applause at the postlude was louder than any applause I've heard for a long time. It was a celebration. It was real. We were saying something about what had happened. We weren't just thanking Brenda, but there was something else that we were noticing in that gesture. Definitely enough, more than enough, an abundance in that moment. When the feeding of the 5,000 was read in the early church, everybody got that formula, take, bless, break, and give, as a kind of trigger for their own lives. Now go do this. This is not something that happened back in the good old days when Jesus was with us and did all kinds of Shazam miracles. It's what's happening right now. That's what ritual does, is it makes it present again. It says, this is now. It's still happening today. The very center of our ritual is the Eucharist, which is this perpetual reminder of perpetual enoughness. Not just here, but everywhere and always. In every part of our lives, if we will act on it. Long before we understand it, I don't understand how this works. Sometimes I barely believe it. But that's not what's being asked. Just do it. I noticed that in the last few years, abundance has become a really important word for me. I talk about it, I think about it, but I also notice that I believe it as if it were just one step ahead. Like, I'll get there, or it's just around the corner. It's within sight. But if it's always in the future, if I don't actually start experiencing it now, then it's this unfulfilled enoughness, which is not enough. And back into the cycle of scarcity. Our work here is nothing less than the transformation of consciousness, the transformation of awareness. It's huge what is going on here. We don't do it, we just go into it. We just start the work. It is to generously reimagine the world from a place of abundance. I was helped toward that this week. through the words of a wise person. Happens to be my husband, Javier. But I want to quote what he said as we were talking about this text, because I think it will stay with me for a long time. So I offer it to you. He said, "Abundance is not charity. Charity is giving from what you have left. If you give from what you have left, you will never have enough. Abundance is giving what you have. And if you give what you have, there will always be some left over. If we give what we have left, there will never be enough. And if we give what we have, there will always be some left over." And I don't know how that works, but it rings true. I lean toward it. I'm not going to even say will, but it's whenever I do, whenever we do, just give it. It happens. And that's the point. That's what Jesus is trying to teach, I think. We don't have to understand it to practice it. We don't have to believe it to experience it. We just have to get out and do it. Practice abundance. Practice enoughness. And the power of this practice, I think, shows up in this little coda story that's attached to the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on water. It's all part of the same story, because the punchline here is that because they didn't understand the loaves, they couldn't understand Jesus walking on the water. But what a powerful image of living this perpetual enoughness. That the disciples here are just rowing against an adverse wind, not enough. And all of a sudden Jesus goes by. He's not even coming to them. He just goes by, traveling so lightly, so unencumbered, that he's just walking on the water. No adversity. What a powerful image, that even adverse winds do not disturb the internal calm of enough. This afternoon, at our special parish meeting, one of the things we'll be doing is looking at a review of our finances mid-year. There's good news, and there's cause for focused attention. And I hope that we will approach this afternoon and all of our finances with this deep sense of enough. There is enough, and there is more than enough. And we will discover that in the action of giving at every depth of our being. As we take what we have, bless it, imagine God already at work, and then give it freely. God's power flows freely. God will make more of it. More than we can see. And as Paul says, more than we can imagine. Enough. And more than enough.